Welcome to Keeping Up With Data. Keeping Up With Data is the podcast that keeps data enthusiasts up to speed with what is happening in the data world. We bring in the leading minds from the data industry to talk all things career, news, embarrassing stories, failures and successes.
So something really important for us here at Precision Sourcing is mental health. It's something we've been focused on a lot over the last year or so. And we're lucky enough to have partnered with the Black Dog Institute. And we're going to be doing a lot of events with them this year. A lot of our events, money will be going towards them. And they're out there aiming to create a mentally healthier world for everyone. So if you wish to support the cause, please donate via the link in the bio on this podcast. And you'll be seeing a lot more information about Black Dog over the next year.
Here we are again with the next episode of Keeping Up With Data podcast. Sean Gray here, joined with the lovely
Emily Nota.
We've got a special guest today from Queensland joining us online.
Hi, Sean. Hi, Emily. Thanks for having me.
If you want to give yourself a bit of an introduction, Denver, to let the network know who you are.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Denver, and I'm the founder and CTO of Zelligate. And Zelligate's one of the world's first AI workforces. And the whole idea is Zelligate will allow you to delegate those low-value tasks, low-value work. So it frees you up to actually do high-value, more meaningful work.
Sounds good. Well, we've got a lot to unpack today. Obviously, the product that you guys are building is quite related to the industry that we're in as well. So we're quite excited to learn a bit more around how it could possibly help us as well as obviously other businesses. So maybe we'll start from the start, Denver. Obviously, background, where you've come from, and kind of give us a bit of an introduction as to who you are and where you came from.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know how far back I'm going to go, but
back to the Stone Age.
Back to the Stone Age. That'll take me back to South Africa, I guess. Where I was born in South Africa, and immigrated to Australia. And I have a family in Australia, and I've got a son and a daughter, and my wife's also a co-founder in the business. So my tech journey goes back about 22 years, and that's being in the professional IT space. And I was quite fortunate enough to start off my journey with programming immediately out of uni. I remember this so clearly. I wrote my last exam in December, and before even getting my results, I figured, oh, let me just, you know, go on the job hunt, sent out a few CVs, and I was starting my first job in January on the first week. So I pretty much didn't have a break, got straight into it because I absolutely love tech, and I couldn't wait to get in. I was just like so eager. And when I started as a programmer. So usually the journey is you kind of get eased into tech, you go into a different sort of door, either QA or something a little bit more easier to ease you in. I got straight onto programming and started working with these distributed systems in 2002. What was interesting about that time, it was the internet just taking off, the internet as we know it now. And online transactions, e-commerce, those were all up and coming. And even the connections that we dealt with, we had ISDN connections as opposed to Wi-Fi and ADSL. And we started that entire journey from 2002 and realized that the technology space is moving very quickly. And what we found, we were always in the forefront of that technology that's moving, not because we wanted to, just out of necessity. Started creating systems that scaled across to more than 100 stores in a country, and then worked on systems that scaled globally, replicating data across the globe. And not long after the internet started to have payment gateways and started to become more useful, my journey continued down the path of data and software. And as a result, summarizing the 22 years in a sentence or two, I got to work on a lot of the different stacks, got to work in organizations that had about 1,500 people present in the same building, working on the same piece of software. It really gave me an opportunity to see what works, what doesn't work, and how to replicate that. So that's a little bit of an introduction.
Yeah. It's an interesting background. In terms of the idea itself with Zelligate, that's what I'm most interested to see how, obviously, people have a passion for specific startups or whatever they create. What was your experience that led you to, maybe I'll start Zelligate, maybe let's...
Yeah, that's quite an interesting question. So following on from the 22 years being exposed to a lot of different types of technologies, one of the things we worked on was machine learning and AI before large language models, as we know it, was prevalent in the market. This meant trying to create our own models, trying to find our own data, trying to understand how this works, and it was really difficult. And the moment the LLMs were freely available to use in 2022, the end of 2022, I realized that this was just the cherry on the top of the pyramid, the missing piece that could really take all this other technology that we've been working on, put it together, and now you've got a full stack that you could work on that could really add meaning to people's lives. And then the next step was, like, I thought about it, what do you actually do with this? Having the technology is great. Having the experience in startups, in big organizations, having the ability to work with teams. I realized that a lot of businesses have a need to do many different things. And that's when we realized, okay, we want to build something that's going to add value. Where do we start? And it started from our own journey, a pain point that we really had. We needed to get an accountant to set up the company. You need to talk to someone in banking to get your bank accounts set up. Then we realized, okay, we need to get someone involved to help with hiring. We need someone to do sales and marketing. And I was chatting to Sam, and she asked me, like, what do we really need? What's ideal? And I said, we need about 15 people, and that would really take you forward. And then we realized, you know, we're not the only ones who has this problem. Small to medium businesses, large businesses, and enterprises have a very similar problem. When you try to accomplish something, you often ask someone on the team, can you do this? And more often than not, the answer is absolutely, but I've got a whole list of other things that I'm tackling right now. What can I do to help you? Well, you could take some things away, or if you just gave me another person, I'd be able to accomplish that. And that's when we realized, okay, what if we had an AI workforce that you could pick and choose that mimicked your hierarchy that you currently have and understand in organizations? And I would like a AI helper in recruiting. I'd like an AI helper in sales and an AI helper in marketing. And what if I could talk to this AI helper like I'm talking to a human and get this AI helper to do things for you? And that's when the penny dropped. With all the technology we have available, that little piece on the top of the pyramid made it possible. We built out a POC very quickly, and we decided, okay, we're going to go all in. So I didn't dabble on the side. Sam and I, we didn't work for 6 months. We spent 6 months building this day in, day out, and we didn't take any other jobs, any other income, because I believe, you know, if you want to take the island, you've got to burn the ships. So that's what we did. Burn the ships and realized that, firstly, no one else was doing this out there. So that was pretty interesting. And then it also got me thinking, you don't want to be first to market either. You know, if you're first to market, that's usually when you get arrows in your back. And we certainly did not want to be leaders in the space, but what we wanted to do was solve a problem. With that came talking to people, talking to businesses, and every time we spoke to someone, the answer was almost unanimous. Oh, that is wonderful. I could do with an AI workforce. What about if I had an AI helper that could help me with my finances? Could it do this? Could it do that? And that's when we realized, okay, this is something that's going to help people to become better versions of themselves. You know, people don't really want to sit down doing the low-level, tedious, mundane tasks day in and day out. It's a waste of time and quite often a waste of life. You know, you could be doing something better. And we got it to this point where we said, look, here's the vision, an AI workforce that would help people and let them become better versions of themselves, working in an organization where everyone's contributing towards ideas, contributing towards much higher value potential that they already have. Take away that the tedious tasks of spending 20 hours doing administration. If you look at the recruiting process as an example, it's quite systematic. You do the same things over and over. And eventually, when you do find a candidate that you can interview, you're facing the same challenges. You're asking the same questions. It's like, oh, tell me, why do you want to work here? What makes you a good fit for this job? So you end up asking these same questions over and over again. And that's when we decided, okay, let's find what these pain points are. Let's talk to people, understand what you want to do. And when it comes to interviewing, it takes a few people's time to be able to do that. If I had to get in a developer, which we're constantly hiring developers, I've got to sit in from a technical point of view. Another team member that has expertise in that area would like to sit in. You'd have HR sitting in from a people and culture point of view. And that's already four people from the team that probably needs to sit in and interview one person, only to find out 15 minutes later, I've heard enough. The resume was great, but this candidate is not really the right fit for us. Maybe not now, maybe not ever, but sometimes you can make those decisions very quickly. And that's when we decided, okay, this is such a huge pain point. What about an AI helper doing AI interviews for you? And as you would have expected it, people are like, oh, that's scary. You know, is the AI going to take over? Are they going to take my job? And it certainly wasn't the case.
I'm curious to hear about like the, obviously you mentioned the administration tasks and the really tedious tasks. Like, obviously you mentioned a couple of examples there from a recruitment point of view, but like what more color could you sort of paint around those administrative tasks? Because I think everyone wants to be more like meaningful and impactful in their jobs, and like, I think taking away those are brilliant. Like, I would love that personally. My God, I hate admin. I need that. So yeah, what are good examples of administrative tasks that it takes away?
Yeah, sure. So one of the typical ones, if we have to look at recruiting, the moment you decide you want to hire someone, let's the software developer role. You want to hire a software developer, and then you start off with, okay, great, let's create a job opening, step one. And you create a job opening, put in all these tedious tasks, tedious numbers, you're typing all of this in. And then you decide, okay, now I need to actually create a job profile. So you can send this to HR or someone else to continue the process. From that job opening, you're creating a job profile, and it is as tedious and mundane as it sounds. And then you want to actually take that job profile and like, what do I do next? Oh, I got to create a job ad. And then you create a job advertisement based on the profile. And then you want to take that, post it out there, and then eventually you'll get a resume coming in. And with that resume, you want to read that resume. Okay, is this candidate the right fit? And you'd look at skills, you'd look at the same things that you always do, number of years of experience, does this candidate fit the role? And once you decide, yes, the candidate does fit the role, then you want to send off an email to the candidate. Hi, I would like to meet you at so-and-so date. Can we have an interview and can you come in? And quite often the candidate will be like, I can't make it at 3 p.m. How about 4 p.m. tomorrow? So you're kind of going through this like rigmarole of talking to people, tedious, mundane tasks all the time. But now here's the time-saving part, the effort-saving part. What you would do is you'd actually go to Zelly and say, and you'd actually say this to Zelly, hey, Zelly, I'm actually looking to hire a software developer. I'm looking to pay in the range of $100,000 to $160,000, depending on their experience. And this person's got to be in Brisbane, South Bank. And ideally, I'd like them to come into the office 5 days a week. And Zelly would go ahead, take your company documents, understand what your culture, your values are, because you've already uploaded that into the system. And Zelly would go and create the job opening for you, create the job description, create the job ad, give you the option and ask you, do you want to post this to LinkedIn? So as the human, you want to have certain stopgaps and you want to push the button after you verify that you like the ad. You press the button, you post that to LinkedIn, the resumes come in, Zelly receives the resumes and extracts the resumes out of the email, reads that, compares it to the job description and gives you a score and says, okay, this candidate is about a 70% match and this candidate's a 90% match. Now you can talk to Zelly as you would to a normal person. Hey, Zelly, can you compare Simon to Jonathan and tell me who's a better candidate for this match, for this job? And then Zelly would go ahead and give you all the reasons why Zelly thinks Simon is good, pros and cons, why Jonathan is good. And now you're making a little bit more of an informed decision. You don't need to go into the details of the resume. Everything is in front of you. But now you can ask questions like, okay, who has more experience in this particular skill set, Python as an example. And all of that information is given to you in a very conversational tone, back and forth, as you would ask someone that's working for you. And it doesn't stop there, because once you've got that and you realize, no, Jonathan is the candidate I want to interview, then you'd say to Zelly, Zelly, can you set up a pre-screening interview with Jonathan? And Jonathan will receive an email with a link in his mailbox. Jonathan would click that, and Zelly would pop up. a real AI Zelly saying, "Hi, Jonathan, thank you for coming to this pre-screening interview. I'd like to ask you a few questions based on the role of software developer that you've applied for. And when you're ready, let me know and we'll start recording this." And then Zelly actually starts having this pre-screening interview with the candidate. Zelly can see you, you can see Zelly, Zelly can hear you, you can hear Zelly. And that entire interaction is being recorded. It's transcribed in real time. You can see exactly what you're saying. And at the end of it, Zelly takes that pre-screening interview, takes the resume that was sent through, takes the job opening, uses all of that information to give you a score. And as a hiring manager or a recruiter, you receive that email saying, "Oh, look, Jonathan's just finished his pre-screening interview. And he's got 85. That's really high." And from a recruiter or hiring manager point of view, you'd click play and you get to watch that interview with Jonathan and Zelly. And now you can see exactly how Jonathan responds. You can find inconsistencies of your own, or at times I find people who have like a limited number of years of experience, and you automatically discount those kind of candidates because you kind of want someone senior. When you look at that interview, there's a difference. You could see someone that has energy, enthusiasm, someone that actually has ambition by actually seeing their facial expression, understanding when you ask them, "Why do you like technology?" And, you know, you could get an answer like, "Yeah, I really love tech. It's nice. I think it's good." Or, "I absolutely love it. The first time I used a computer, I could not believe it was so amazing. And I knew." And you see that in a video interview and you think, that's the guy. That's the person I want on my team. And now the high value work starts. Zelly's done all of the heavy lifting, tedious, mundane tasks are gone. Now you speak to the person and you say to the person, "Look, let's come in for a face-to-face interview." And you do the face-to-face interview, you shake their hand, look them in the eye, and now you're able to do the high value work. Ask them questions that's related to more to them. You wanna ask the questions that really matter. And now you want to focus a lot about on the job at hand, and you want to focus a lot more on the person, the individual. If every recruiter or hiring manager took care of the people that's coming in, you would build an amazing team. And what we found is you find people with similar values and culture, diverse in their skills, diverse in everything else, but you want to bring together people who can see a vision and work together to get that vision. And those are the type of people you want to bring into your organization. And Zelly helps you do that.
That would really help us.
Yeah. It's definitely an interesting product. I've got probably more thoughts than I can ask questions within the time frame. I suppose the first one that comes to my mind, Emma, would be around that human touch, which I think you touched on it yourself at the end.
Mm.
Like, we've heard of people who, like, back maybe 4 or 5 years ago, people, when they're going through an application process and they have to fill all the details in and they have to do like a 2-minute pre-recording of why they like it, but there's no prompted questions, which I've seen on the Zelly because I've signed in and used your guys' beta product to have a look at what exactly it is. And it's pretty cool that you can choose which person you want to represent as your Zelly. You've got a different people, different accents, different voices, which is really cool. But do you think, like, what would your thoughts around, like, let's say I'm interviewing with this Zelly candidate or with the Zelly boss. For me personally, if I'm to be given energy back, if we've got an AI bot asking these questions, you may not have that energy and oomph, whereas me and you are having a conversation now. We can see facial expressions. We can see, feel the energy. Is the product designed for just that first round screening, or do you think you would use that as a full recruitment cycle from first round, second round, potential coding challenge, third round, and then make your judgment based off the full trust of Zelly? Or would you want to get yourself in front of those people after that first round?
I love the question. So I want to start off with, before I answer the question, I'm kind of feeling a little bit judged by the way you're looking at me. And I'm going somewhere with this. So this is based on what we find is when we give you those Zellies to choose from a candidate perspective, people choose a Zelly that resonates with them. So they find the face that they like, someone that's smiling the way they smile. People like people that are like themselves. And then they choose a voice that they can identify with. Automatically, they're starting to have some kind of rapport with the Zelly. They know it's AI. We know it's AI, and we want them to know it's AI, but we want you to build a relationship with your Zelly. So the candidate chooses the Zelly that they're comfortable seeing. They choose the Zelly that they're comfortable listening to. And then they get into that interview. And now, for the first time, there's no bias because this Zelly is got a very positive outlook. Zelly's smiling and talking to you.
Yeah.
Same thing, Zelly would not judge you. And what I found in interviews, especially with younger candidates, when you ask them a question, they'll start to answer. And if I lean back, then they kind of change their tone, like, maybe I'm not going down the right path. This is what I meant. So I'm like, no, keep going. And it's our cues as people doing the interviewer. We don't realize it at times, but people take the cues from us, and that becomes a biased interview. And sometimes you can see the answer is incorrect. Maybe the candidate's expressing it incorrectly. You automatically would be like, no, that's the wrong answer. You're thinking that. And there might be this leakage that shows. And if the candidate sees that, they're just putting their worst foot forward because they're like, oh, I've answered that incorrectly. Yeah. And they're in their head. And what we found with our experience, people are talking to Zelly. They're so free. They actually laugh back at Zelly, which is interesting. And what we found at the end of every interview, Zelly says, thank you. If there's no further questions, I hope you have a nice day. And 100% of the time, the candidates are, thank you, Zelly. I hope you have a nice day too. Just the connection was made. Yeah. And I think it solves that problem of not being biased because the Zelly is there to make sure you put your best foot forward. And it's contrary to what people believe. Every time I've explained the AI interview to someone, the first reaction was like, oh, isn't that scary? Like, and I wouldn't want to do that. But once someone actually uses it for the first time, then it sounds like, wow, it's amazing. It's the whole thing about like you don't know what it's like until you've actually tried it. If you try to explain to someone,
that was exactly what I was just gonna say. Exactly what I was just gonna say, because prior to this, I hadn't used it and I had so many questions coming in. But when I downloaded the beta software and I registered for the kind of test and I got to pick my bot, I was like, this is pretty unique and pretty personal. You can kind of tailor it to whatever you want. So, yeah, I really like that answer. That's
true as well. When you go into that first round, like you everyone's been guilty of it. Like you're kind of looking for an answer. And if they don't give you the exact answer, your kind of immediate reaction, you sometimes it's subconscious and then like people get put off by it. So I feel like that's a really good way to like counteract that for sure. Like in the bias that you mentioned.
Yeah, that's definitely differentiating from anything I've ever seen or heard of with that, like with an interview, especially with the juniors, as you said, Denver, you've got someone who's like palms are sweaty, they're like first interview, they're really like wanting to make a good impression. They may stumble on words based off like almost watching you instead of trying to concentrate on what you're saying. It's like, are they judging me? So that's really interesting. In terms of like moving forward and where you guys are, like obviously big vision, big plans for the future with AI, LLMs, a hot topic right now. So really good time for you guys to launch off. Where do you see Zelly impacting the future of work moving forward?
So we see Zelly as an AI workforce and not just one area like recruiting. We ideally want to have a Zelly in sales, marketing, legal, and eventually a Zelly that you could have at home. So we see a Zelly in every home and every office in the world helping people, but I don't think it's about having a predefined set of Zellies. Right now in an organization, we all have an org structure that we follow. And that's our vision immediately. Let's have an org structure so every person can have an AI worker helping them. And in terms of technology, the tech stack, as wonderful as it is, we don't really see the value in pushing tech for the sake of tech. It's what problems are we really solving? Are we helping people reach their goals? And what we found as a result, we did not choose to do this initially, but as a result, we're using almost every area of tech that's out there right now and every LLM that's available to us, as well as all of the other cool features of AI. So one of the Zellies that are in training at the moment in marketing, we could say something to Zelly like, hey, Zelly, can you draw me a picture of a blue sky, green grass, and just a heart, a red heart, and I just want to spread love. Zelly would go ahead and do that. And you could say to Zelly, turn that into a blog. And Zelly would turn that into a blog. Now, all of this tech, you find it, there's point offerings everywhere. There's hundreds, thousands, millions of AI points offerings out there, but each one's doing one little thing. And what we found is when you have an AI worker like Zelly, Zelly tends to use all of these different pieces of technology because it's a necessity for the product. So we're not offering the tech, but the technology is available for you to use in your day-to-day business or whatever work you're trying to do. A very simple one that's quite interesting that we found. We can say to Zelly, Zelly, can you call Jonathan and tell him that I'd like to have a conversation? Now, Zelly would make a phone call, an actual phone call to Jonathan's mobile, and Zelly would make a phone call to my mobile and connect the both of us, and we can start talking. And Zelly can actually listen in on that conversation and then decide, you know, what business case are we dealing with? If we're doing interviews, maybe Zelly can give some coaching to the candidate to say, oh, this is, you did really well in these areas, and I think you could maybe not say and ah too many times. And at the same time, give the recruiter or the hiring manager some kind of information as well. Oh, you know what? You actually asked about, does this candidate drink alcohol? Just want to let you know, you can't really ask these things in an interview. So kind of educate you a little bit more as well. So the whole idea of all that tech coming together, it's actually serving a greater good. And then, as we know, everything is data. All of it underneath the hood is data. And as a result, a byproduct is we have all this data that we can now use, make informed decisions on, not just with sentiment analysis, but other data points that can actually add value. And as a result, you've got a dashboard that's going into the area of data and analytics. The way the tech is put together is running on microservices architecture that scales globally to 100,000 users and millions if needed. And the reason I mentioned this is the tech is wonderful. It's running the majority of it on the AWS cloud, and AWS has been absolutely wonderful supporting us. It's not about the tech, it's about the people that's using it.
So is that the calling to the candidate and the manager like happening now, or is it something that you're training currently?
This is currently in development. Yeah, so we've created our POC. So we have quite a few POCs, and we want to sort of address it at the point where it's right and where it's adding value. We usually take the approach of the typical product market fit. We talk to customers, get users using a beta version, giving us their feedback, tell us what works and what doesn't work. And we're user-led, so we'll develop what's user-led. There's so many cool features out there. Like, I really want Zelly to do these phone calls and, you know, get 60 people on a conference call, but people aren't asking for that. So it's adding value. Those are the kind of technologies or features we'd start to push out to the, you know, broader Zelly.
That'll be so valuable, I feel, because that, like, piece, I feel like it's really, like, no one's really mastered the way to give feedback. And because you have someone who's, like, not so biased, like, or has no bias really, giving it back, it's like, and it's also fact-based and based on like some sentiment as well, I feel like it's going to really help.
Some people don't even get feedback in this way. So if it's automated and it's a must, that's it's almost like the world is your oyster in that perspective. It's like there's so many things that you could do by the sounds of it. It's like what I'm hearing is like maybe you could, similar to Alexa in a sense, but Alexa's just one thing that can't do anything for everyone else. But it's like times 10 million thousand more opportunities. But
so you've hit the nail on the head. And Alexa's part of where the inspiration comes from as well. Alexa was one of the sort of very first pieces of tech that was kind of AI that was doing things for you. I hooked up Alexa to pretty much every light at home and got it to open the garage door and things like that. So my wife said to me, please, can I just turn on the switch? I'm forgetting what's the name of this room. So it gets to that point where you realize that you can really use tech to help you. And Alexa was such a good example from where it started and where it's going to go. I think there's a lot of opportunity to add so much value in different areas. And what we do see is a Zelly in every home as well.
Sounds possible.
What about, like, everyone's scared of, you know, these sort of this technology taking over jobs, and naturally there will be people that tend to gravitate towards more of the administrative tasks and maybe are better suited to doing that. Like, how do you view, I suppose, that point that everyone's kind of nervous of the job takeover?
target market as well, wouldn't
yeah.
it? Be? Target market demographic.
Yeah.
Like Gen Z would probably jump all over it.
Yeah.
So what's interesting is, you know, as a human race, we're always evolving to the next level. And AI is not going to take people's jobs. AI is going to make lives easier so people can evolve to the next level. And what we find happening is if you have someone in the organization that now has more capacity and free time because AI is helping, because their Zelly workers doing things for them, no good organization should replace people with AI. What you should do now is start working on higher value work. You get that person to add more value by contributing what they can as a human. And I don't see it as replacing jobs. I don't think that's going to happen. I think people are just going to become so proficient at what they're doing that they're going to actually turn around and say, I didn't realize I was so good in that area. I've always sat back and thought product development was so good and never had the chance to work on it because my job required me to do admin all day. Now that I have some time, I'd like to get into that area. And you'd find that people are actually now living their purpose.
Yeah, that's a good point. I agree with that statement. There's so many people out there that like, oh, even my like parents and grandparents, you know, that kind of generation, they're like, nah, it's just going to take over. It's just really bad news and all that. Yeah. I'm like, no, you don't understand.
It's fear-mongering. What do you think, like, obviously, as much as you can disclose at this early stage of your journey, what do you think the biggest, well, maybe the biggest challenges that you've had from initial decision when you realized Denver and Sam, where you guys were like, right, we're going all guns blazing at this, 6 months where you were like, right, this is it, what are we doing? But what's been the biggest challenges?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's always a journey in a startup and it's always difficult. There's so many challenges to deal with. And right now, like any other founder in a startup, I'm not getting enough sleep. And it's part and parcel of it. But I say to Sam, you know, I feel like a kid on Christmas every morning when I wake up because it's so exciting to be here. It's exciting to be around the team that I'm working with. We actually have a vision, a purpose that we're working towards. And I think the most challenging and frustrating part for me was not that the journey itself was difficult. It's that we have this value, but how do we let the world know about it? I kind of feel like, you know, the spam emails where you say to people, oh, you got to try this, you got to try that product. It sounds like one of those late night shopping shows, but it's it's something that can really help people. And I think my frustration or my biggest challenge is not enough people are getting to see the benefits of AI and what Zelly can do at this point in time. So I think that's the biggest challenge, getting the word out there. And interesting enough, you mentioned Jeff Bezos. So we were invited to the US in December by AWS, and AWS invited 100 of the world's most AI, promising AI companies in the world. And we were fortunate to be invited as one of those companies. And there were a good few people that were leaders in the industry, like Anthropic, who's doing Claude 3, which is doing really well right now. Yeah. And we met a lot of people and spoke to these people. And one of the areas that's also being used for AI is search. So Google, as we know it, it's becoming a bit of a legacy search, and that's currently being replaced by one of the other pieces of software out there. And the person that I was talking to, the company's called Perplexity. He was the founder of Perplexity, and we had a chat. And Jeff Bezos actually funded part of that company. So the whole thing about AI and where it's going, I think a lot of visionaries already see it. They already know it. It's not a difficult bet compared to other things. We know it's going to happen. It's all about doing it the right way, doing it in a responsible fashion, and most importantly, making sure that people are taken along that journey as well.
I just heard that you're friends with Jeff Bezos.
I didn't meet Jeff.
I was
a handshake away. Let's put it that way.
Basically, you are.
Yeah, that's amazing to get the invite to that. That's like, that's dream networking style.
Yeah. And the top 100? Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing because we spoke to people who started off their journey in the startup and eventually became titans in industry. And what I love is a lot of these books like Zero to One and The Lean Startup, a lot of the themes are actually lived out in real life. You do get to that point where you find that the journey is the same, and same in the sense that you got to do the right things at the right time. And if you understand what not to do, it makes it a little bit easier. Avoid those things that don't work. Don't be everything to everybody. These little things, they actually do hold up. And being able to talk to other founders as well, sharing their journey, their experience, it definitely helps make those challenges a little bit easier.
That's good. Some people to lean on. How much of your business that you've built with the hiring process have you used Zelly for? Like, is everyone from who's been recruited in your business right now used or been part of that Zelly process when they were onboarded?
It's more the latter hires that we've used the Zelly for, because while we were building it, we couldn't really use it. But
true.
It was a MLP, a minimum lovable product. We started to use Zelly, and I absolutely love it. And now I've become a user where I'm kind of like thinking, oh, it'd be cool if it had this feature or that feature. And I'm a user. I need it. You know, it just makes sense now when you're actually using it. And I can't go a day without using Zelly. Because apart from just Zelly doing the recruiting really well, I can ask Zelly anything because Zelly's using all of the large language models out there. So I never need to leave the Zelly platform. I could ask Zelly simply, I really feel like having something for lunch and it's got to be some good vegetables. Can you tell me what would be good? And it's totally off topic, unrelated to anything, and Zelly can answer. And I could say to Zelly, okay, I'm in Brisbane. Is there any place around here that might be close by? And Zelly would give me a place of places that, or a list of places that might be nearby. And then I could go back, Zelly, get back to that job profile and please write me a job profile.
I love that. That's so good.
Yeah. Where do you think, obviously, I don't mean to repeat it again, the world is obviously the oyster in terms of where you can go with it and what you can do. Do you think you're going to go into a niche to start in terms of like, salespeople will get the most value at the start, recruiters will be able to get the most value, or are you going to tackle the whole picture in one, or what's going to take around that?
Yeah, so the vision is definitely big, and coming back to the basic principles, Elon Musk talks about first principles quite a lot. I think when you're in a startup and you're building something like this, it's really easy to get distracted by all of the shiny objects. So right now we need to focus on an area that's very narrow. So it's wide in the sense that you could recruit for any industry. Recruiting would be the first Zelly we'd go for. And whether you're in mining, retail, software, you still want to recruit. So the process is the same and it goes across all the different industries, but it's a mile wide, it's a mile deep and an inch wide. So with the recruiting, you could actually do the video interviews, you could do the scoring of candidates, you could go ahead and compare candidates. And the latest feature that we've just added is you can actually find candidates, you can source candidates. And this came out of our users asking for, how do I find candidates? And we realized that a lot of the recruiters, a lot of the hiring managers want to find candidates. So you go into Zelly and you find someone that's in software development or in the retail space. Zelly gives you a list of candidates, but these are candidates that are not looking for a job, which is a good thing because you want to actually find someone that's already been tried and tested, someone that's already working in industry, and actually speak to them and get that candidate to either come over and join your company to fulfill a bigger mission, a bigger vision, or you want to talk to someone who has experience and not looking, but just having that conversation, you'd realize, oh, The only reason this person is at this job for the past 5 years is they had flexibility of working from home 3 days a week before COVID. And then you realize, okay, I could do the same for you. And the candidate would be like, oh, I had no idea because I always thought that I had to be in the office every day. And this is where the conversations start to open. And you can really understand what the candidate's looking for, what the candidate's dreams, visions, aspirations are. And then you start to work together to build a team. That's pretty much the dream team.
Well, one question. So we talked around the bias element of a person interviewing for a company and that the boss is not there to judge, which is spectacular about it. What about the bias on reading a CV? So the reason I asked this, Denver, I had a guy LinkedIn yesterday. I put up a post talking about how people are now using ChatGPT to reverse engineer their CV into a job description to make it look like you're almost the dream candidate for the role because it's done through the reverse engineering side of it. So what about the guys who may have, like, obviously it's down to themselves to do a good CV at the end of the day. So if you don't do a good CV, you're not selling yourself. But those maybe who would four or five bullet points with a two-page resume that has let's give it a context here. So there's two guys, both the same guys. One is a two-page CV, one is an eight-page CV. They're both the same people, but one is a condensed version and one has a much longer version.
Absolutely. And the way we've solved that problem is to remove the bias. All of the calculations that are done in the scoring are mathematical calculations. So it's very binary. The job description requires a set of skills. So does your resume have that set of skills? Does your resume have the minimum number of years that's required? So it's doing a very binary comparison. So if your resume conveys all of that in 8 pages, we still get the same information. If it conveys it in 2 pages, we still get the same information. If you leave it out of your resume, then that's a bad resume. So it's actually a lot more, a lot less biased, because what we're doing is we're looking for the information to make sure that the candidate succeeds and the candidate puts the best foot forward. And behind the scenes, we have, there's a few concepts. There's a lot of things happening in the system. We have the ideal resume. So every resume that comes in after it's scored, we create a Zelle resume. So all of the resumes are brought in, so you have the same level field for all of the candidates. Because the key things that you're looking for in a resume are usually pieces of information. You cannot tell the type of person. You can tell by the experience and the company they worked for, but you cannot tell if the person is going to be energetic, if the person is going to be motivated. Yeah. That's where the pre-screening would give you an idea.
Yeah.
So it's based on like what they say, not how many times they say it.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
It makes people, it will eventually, maybe some years down the line, prompt people to actually do better CVs.
Well, maybe I should give you a little sneak peek. I don't think CVs and resumes are going to even be a thing anymore. One of the Zelle POCs that we're working on is Zelle would actually talk to you as a candidate, get your information and write your resume for you. So there'll be an ideal Zelle resume that the entire world would be using. But you're talking to Zelle, you're not typing this out. And what would happen there is you could speak as much as you want. Zelle's going to ask you these questions and it becomes fair for everyone. So if you write a bad resume right now, you may not even get considered for a job. If you use Zelle and you have a bad resume, Zelle would read it anyway, because it's not anyone's time. It's not a human's time.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be quite interesting. And even now, if a candidate had to go and reverse engineer the resume, they're showing some initiative. That's one point, I guess. And they'll only be able to get past the actual scoring. You'll score well. And then the pre-screening interview would reveal that very quickly, because you'd ask technical questions. And Zelle would ask questions based on that resume. So tell me, how exactly would you prevent a DDoS attack? And the guy's doing this pre-screening interview is like, oh, hold that thought for a second.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's such a good idea.
Yeah, it's, I can sense the excitement that I'm very excited for you and to watch where you guys go. And hopefully one day I'll have Zelle get in my home too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
About a final sort of sales pitch from your sort of culture that you've got in Zelle Gate, I suppose you as a founder maybe joining the business, if you're a developer, if you're any type of sort of skill, I suppose, that you're looking for, like maybe just a little bit more context around that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do have plans to grow. There's definitely a business plan in place that's looking to have 97 people on the team. And right now we're hiring for developers specifically with skills in AWS and Python. And on the front end, we're looking for people with skills in React and pretty much making beautiful UIs. And, you know, those are the areas. But what I think is going to happen is we're going to find a point where one Zelle is going to add a lot of value, and we're going to create these teams to work on different Zelles to market quickly. And we anticipate this the concept of blitzscaling happening pretty soon. And right now we're offering an early bird specials to anyone who gets on right now and, you know, uses Zelle, uses these credits concepts that we have there, and, you know, help us refine the product in the next few weeks. And yeah, I think there's a lot of growth that's going to be happening in the AI space.
Yeah, it's a great, it's like a dream role for a developer for sure. And it sounds like you've got a really like clear direction, vision, strategy that obviously everyone's buying into, which is the reason why they kind of, well, one of the big reasons why they want to work with you guys. So
yeah,
it's very rare.
Yeah, I think we're quite fortunate in the sense that we've had a lot of good people come together, and the old concept of the Zellies not being biased came from Sam. She's an organizational psychologist, so she understands the psychology of things.
Yeah,
and so many skills that have come together. Our CEO is seasoned in a lot of businesses, so he's able to guide us from that strategic level. So it's invaluable what we've seen him do. We've had people come into the team, marketing as an example. We're getting like world-class marketing from people who have experience and want to be here. So that's interesting. Everyone who's joined the team, they actually want to be part of the team.
Yeah.
I think I want to be part of the team right now. After hearing that.
Will you hire us?
Ask Zelly. I think... Denver, it's been absolutely amazing to hear the story, the vision, everything is just, I wish you the very best of luck at it. I think it's going to be something amazing, and I'm very excited to watch you guys grow. I think on that note.
Yeah, if anyone's listening, go to zelligate.ai and get your early bird discount, try it out, see what it's like. And more often than not, we find that people, they have a different experience compared to what words tell you. So give it a try and let us know how it goes.